Blog Talk Radio.
We are the UR Tennis Network. Our mission is to be the voice of tennis. We enlist a team of passionate enthusiasts to promote our sport. We strive to bring interesting perspectives on the many spins of tennis. Our goal is to provide the learners of our sport with current news and information from many angles. We seek active participation from communities interested in tennis, but tennis is not interested in them. We are expanding our outreach. Tennis is a true lifetime sport that needs to be talked about, and the UR Tennis Network pledges to pursue this idea relentlessly.
Good afternoon, high school tennis fans. Welcome to the UR Network, where you find all your tennis news. This is your host, Coach Denise, bringing you the FHS-TCA perspective on high school tennis. Our broadcast can't help but to overlap the other tennis broadcasts, since high school tennis should be the pathway to a continuing and rewarding lifetime experience. High school tennis is about team. Team is about family and community. It takes more than a coach, player, and parents to make a successful tennis team. Trust me, I know. I did it for 20 years. FHS-TCA is blessed to have the necessary team members to provide some of the needed support to high school tennis. Our partners understand that tomorrow's college players, USTA league players, and volunteers, PTR and USPTR tennis pros, as well as tomorrow's community and national leaders, are in high school now. Our corporate partners, we would not be able to do this without them, and they include some of the leaders in the industry. Wilson Sports, a leader for over 100 years. It brings us the All-Star Tournament, which will be at the end of April. And again, they will be bringing goodie bags to all the tennis players, the coaches, and naturally we'll be using the Wilson tennis ball at the tournament. Wilson this year will be presenting four high school awards for Outstanding Coach of the Year. They will be in each one of the FHSAA divisions, and they will do that at our annual FHCA workshop in December. Team Connection is a closer for the FHS-TCA. Naturally, all our all-star players will be wearing Team Connection clothing. And besides being able to get your FHS-TCA clothing there, you can also order your team uniforms there. And maybe your high school might be one of the high school teams that will be competing for free tennis shirts for the 2016 season. All those attending the All-Star tournament are already acquiring points to play forward to next year's teams. If you go onto our website, you'll be able to see other ways that you can go in and play forward to the next year's tennis teams. After all, we're all living on the shoulders of somebody previously. In Florida Tennis Magazine, last week you heard Jim Martz, Mr. Florida Tennis, on the show. I must admit that was probably the fastest hour I had, enjoyable person that I've known for years, and somebody that for the last few years I've been writing tennis articles for, and especially covering high school sports. Vertimax Raptor. Vertimax equipment is used all over to bring athletes in shape, and they produced the Raptor this year, which is specially designed for tennis, and it's affordable for tennis. After all, tennis is one of those non-revenue producing sports for the high school, and that does present a problem as far as producing the revenue it needs to produce outstanding high school teams. Dean Street Insurance. Dean Street Insurance realizes that it takes a community to support a high school team. They will be presenting a community service award at our annual meeting in December this year. So they understand that it takes more than players and parents and a coach to produce high school teams. And if you don't have a Dean Street Insurance in your community, go to DeanStreetInsurance.com and you will find one there. Billie Jean King Eye Coach, we take it with us all the time. A great assistant coach for the high schools, and usually with the amount of players that we have on a high school team and the budget restraints, we need to have assistance that we can trust and can afford. And, of course, we are the tennis arm of the Florida Athletic Coaches Association. Previously, I spoke about the All-Star Tournament. For years, the Florida Athletic Coaches Association didn't have an All-Star event in tennis, and now we do with the FHSTCA support. And it would have never gotten off the ground if it wasn't for the Youth Tennis Foundation of Florida. They hosted the past 3 years' events, and hopefully they will be involved again this year, and hopefully you will be considering being involved in our organization. We need your help, and hopefully we look forward to seeing you soon. And thanks to all those people I mentioned is one of the reasons we can join you on the URS 10 Network. And be have the tennis fans have our show be part of the tennis talk. We have Lisa Stone doing Parent and Aces for her tennis people from 10 years old right up to college. Coach Chuck Greasy, the former Clemson coach, known and loved by all of us. His program is the American is American Tennis. And Jason Haynes brings you the American college experience. And naturally, we feel we fit right in because the high school tennis is where all these programs should go through. High school tennis is where the bridge should be built from recreation to competitive tennis. And we're proud to be supporting that effort. And on our show today, we have a gentleman. We should have a very good conversation. You can call in if you want to talk to our guest. You can call in at 714-583-6853. And for those friends of yours that miss out on the show, and we know that most of the people do, that there's more people tune in later than they do live, and we understand that because I'm one of those people myself. But remind them to go to the www.blogtalkradio.com UR10 Network, and they can listen to any one of the shows. I think I see our guest holding now, and let me see if I can get him on the microphone here. Tarek, are you there? Can you hear me, Tarek? Tarek, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Oh, very good, Tarek. I was just getting ready to introduce you. Yes,
oh,
I can. Tarek Merchant is a gentleman that's been associated with the Florida High School Tennis Coaches Association for the last couple of years. Originally from Kingston, Ontario, Canada, Just got through watching one of the great Canadian players today with a great match at the Miami tournament. He now resides in Miami, Florida, and he's a former NCAA Division I tennis player, played at Jacksonville University. And I'll ask him, is that how you got decided to move to Florida once you got involved with the weather, Carrick, or did you find other reasons to come to Florida?
Yeah, absolutely. Actually, just want to take one moment to just say thanks for having me on the show. It's a great honor to be on with you. For the listeners out there who don't maybe know everything about your background, I got a chance, of course, to meet you last year and spend some time at your home. And I think you're doing a great job, and you're a great ambassador to high school tennis and in Florida. And I really appreciate what you do, and thanks for having me. So just wanted to let you know that.
Well, thank you very much, Tarek. But today's show is about you. And I'd like to get to Peter, and I appreciate what you've done. I know in some circles it's a subject that is disputed. I happen to know for a fact that most of our high school coaches, I wish I didn't have to say that, don't understand the process of supporting high school players and the difficulties there are there. And, of course, with your group, I'm Recruitable, that's what you do. And you charge a fee for that. And you've also support our organization. If you go to our website, and even if you're not going to take one of the tennis classes, you will find Tarek talking about the opportunities of college tennis on a short video. And as of a couple of days ago, Tarek, it was the most watched video that we have on our YouTube. And I think it's probably a combination because it's on YouTube and it's also mandatory for the training. But forever, whatever the reasons are, they sit there and they're watching that, and we appreciate that. But please tell us a little about yourself. I know that you played multiple sports. Can you tell us how you got involved in sports, and then after that, how you decided you wanted to be in this business?
Sure, absolutely. Yeah, so to answer your first question, being in Jacksonville, Florida, and playing college tennis there, I had the opportunity to get my master's degree, and of course that brought me just further and further down south. I ended up going to Orlando to work with the Orlando Magic basketball team, and then found my way in Miami working at Cliff Drysdale Management in Key Biscayne. And I originally was born and raised in a town called Kingston, Ontario, which is a town in between Toronto and Montreal. When I was growing up, it was about 60,000 people, and now it's grown to about 200,000. Tennis, I think Jim March was talking last week about where he grew up north, and it being predominantly a baseball, basketball town. I grew up in a hockey town where a lot of famous NHL players came from. So naturally, at the age of three, my dad put me on the ice, and I was playing hockey. From there, basketball and soccer and all the other sports. And tennis was one of the smaller sports in our area, and they really only had one club, but we did have, at the time, the under-18 national champion, Brad McFarlane, and that kind of got me into tennis because his father was one of the national coaches. So that's where my tennis and passion sort of started over there, and I continued to do it throughout my years along with playing the other sports, and then found myself with an opportunity to come down south on a tennis scholarship.
Very good, and we're glad you did. When did you realize that there was, how did you go about getting your college scholarship?
Well, in Canada at the time, of course, back, it wasn't too long ago, but in the early 2000s, we were still sending DVDs or videotapes to college coaches. It was much more difficult to get a hold of them. And I always had the interest of going down south, mainly because I had a lot of family in the States, in California, in New York, in the Midwest. And I loved sports in general and basketball, watching the NCAA March Madness, as I'm sure a lot of us have watched last week and will continue to watch. It was always interesting to me. I always wanted to play college tennis in an environment that was the next level. And I didn't have very little help. I did team up with a gentleman whose son went down south and was helping some players at the time with his handful of connections. But it was difficult. I had to do a lot of the process myself. I had to learn the process on my own, do a lot of research. And it actually ended up landing me with a chance to play Division II in New Mexico first. And although that was a great experience, it wasn't the right fit for my 4 years, so I ended up transferring. And from all of that and my learning experiences, and I got a really good understanding of what it was all about. And that's kind of what it led me to do over the last 8 years now, is I've been helping so many student-athletes really guide them through the right path, because I don't want them to make necessarily all the same mistakes I did. I think there's a learning curve for everyone, and they have to do some of that on their own. But if you have some guidance and someone with some connections to help you find the right fit, you can really have an unbelievable experience.
I don't think many people realize how important it is to have the right fit. And truthfully, in my high school coaching experience, I didn't have many players that many of the college were knocking on doors to go, but thinking that it was pretty easy back then. And all of a sudden, as you get talking to your your player, you find out, well, this is what I want to study and this is what I want to do. And all of a sudden, the amount of people you think you have where she could play tennis starts to dwindle down pretty fast. And then, of course, in most cases, in most of my cases, it was that you had players that maybe, that did, well, there was just no way they were going to play at Division One. Well, there was a place for them, and it's difficult to find that. If you're old like I am and you've been blessed to be around for a long time, you get to meet a lot of people. But the truth of the matter is, and I hear it all the time, people saying, oh, well, I know all the college coaches, and I think I know more than many high school coaches, but the truth is I don't know enough. There's a lot more to it than that.
Absolutely. I thought it would be a part-time job at first, because when I was doing my master's degree, there were some players that were still on the team that I was rooming with, and some of them were from Spain and Portugal and Brazil and all over the world, and there were some problems that, you know, would arise as normal, and I was always their mentor and helping them through it. And I also watched all my friends from back home. A lot of them came to play in the NCAA or NAIA in the States, and a lot of them went back home. And I couldn't understand why, because at the time I was having a great experience. I think I got lucky in some ways to still really enjoy myself. Of course, I had a few hurdles to jump over as well, but I started to think there must be a better way. There must be a way that these players can find that right fit, that they can team up with somebody who knows the coaches, who's involved in the process on a daily basis. And that's when I decided, you know, this needs to be a full-time job and a gig for not only myself but an organization, so that they can be involved in the day-to-day of each of these sports and understand the requirements of each player, because it's custom. Every player needs to understand their level. They need to find schools that match that. But it's also college, and I think a lot of people forget that it's education is predominantly the number one part in playing on a sports scholarship, because only a very small, well, limited percentage is going to go on and play professionally. So it needs to be an academic fit, and they need to have opportunities after their sport.
Yeah, no question about it. You said that well, and we're blessed that you said it at our workshops for the last couple of workshops that we've done. And I remember the first time I sent somebody down to the guidance counselor that I had talent in, suggested that they went to the it wasn't called the NCAA Eligibility Center back in those days, but that's what it is now. And I told them they should register. And back then it was in the junior year. Maybe your next question I have for you to talk about what we have to do now. And the student was just told by the guidance counselor that, coach didn't know what he was talking about. And I went to the athletic director. And it was only then that I started to learn that athletics was such a small part of what a guidance counselor is doing. And if it represents, I'm not sure what the number is, you might know one or one and a half, I know it was less than 2% of what they're doing, how much studying and researching are they going to do? So too often, people say, well, that's somebody else's job. And then if you're a coach, it isn't somebody else's job. It's our job, and it's our job to go out and at least guide them to the people like you where they can get it. Which brings you to my next question. Today's high school player is really, there's a lot of difference, with the NCAA eligibility requirements and everything. What does a player need to do to get recruited to play college tennis today? What are some of the things that you think are first steps, and when should these steps be taken?
Well, first of all, as you mentioned, the recruiting process has changed drastically. And I had mentioned that, how in the early 2000s we were sending DVDs and having to call coaches and send some emails. But in today's day, technology plays a huge portion in the recruiting process, and that's to a player's advantage, but also makes it more difficult because now they're able to see many more players, there's a lot more variety, there's a bigger list, and they're able to recruit a lot faster. So college coaches are now looking at a wide variety of players. The way that we work, we like to use technology, and there's something exciting that's coming out with our company over the next year is we'll be adding a technology portion that will allow players, coaches, parents to help the student athlete navigate the recruiting process online by connecting with coaches, managing their process, and finding open roster spots. And that should be a great, great tool to aid the players. Players need to create a game plan. That's the first step in the process. Without a game plan, you can't really accomplish your goal. And a game plan is customized for every player. So you have to take into consideration many points, but some of the key points would be the major that they want to study, the location or type of school they want to go to. Of course, on the parent side, the financial aspect comes into play, whether they're dealing with FAFSA or the maximum out-of-pocket a family is willing and able to pay. And obviously the tennis level. The tennis level is very important to know what you're going to get out of a program. Where do you want to start in the lineup? Do you want to be a top three player right off the bat? Do you want to start deeper into the lineup and work your way? And those all come at various costs and compromises as well. It's impossible for anybody in this world to get the perfect outcome. So there's going to be some give and take. And players need to be comfortable with understanding that, they may not be able to get everything they want, but if they can get majority of what they're looking for, that's a great fit, and the rest will fall into place. So the first step really is creating that game plan. And then we have a 7-step process that we go through. So that 7-step process includes creating the game plan, putting up a very good resume, all the important information that a college coach will want to look at initially. They, because they're looking at so many players, they're going to be quickly sifting through your resume. And you want to give the highlighted points out to college coaches. At I'm Recruitable, we have a nice template that we give to all of our players so they can fill out that important information quickly to give the coach that those quick facts, and they can see whether it's a fit or not and if they want to start working forward. The video is another step in the process that's very important. And in today's day, you can put up a video on YouTube, and a lot of coaches will get to see it if you put in the right tags. And if you put in the right type of points and style that they're looking for. I actually interviewed a handful of coaches this last year at the Clay Court National Championships in Boca, and I asked coaches what they're looking for in a video. And you'll be surprised that coaches will give different answers, but they're all around the same aspect of looking for point play. I think that's one of the key parts that needs to be in a video. And then, of course, managing the communication process along with signing up with the NCAA Eligibility Center and getting all those information together in a timely fashion, going on visits, and ultimately making that choice. So it's a complicated process, but it can be simplified if you know the steps that you need to take, if you have somebody in your corner that can guide you and understands what you need to do.
When would you suggest that they start their NCAA eligibility research as far as classes and that kind of stuff?
The recruiting process really starts in your freshman year, ninth grade. You've got to start taking steps towards creating some goals on the athletic side and academic side, as well as researching schools and getting in touch with coaches. Some of the rules have changed now with the NCAA. Division One, for example, coaches are now able to communicate via text and email to players much earlier in their junior year now, July 1st, than they used to be able to do. And so because of the earlier communication, the early signing period that's now available for high school seniors, which starts November 15th, high school seniors who are starting their senior year can actually commit to a college. This generally happens at the moment for some of the top-tier players. I'd say about 10% of high school recruits are signing in that early signing period, but that doesn't stop you from wanting to communicate. It's very important for that player to start their process in ninth grade and take those necessary steps. We have guidelines and a bit of a roadmap that we can send to players. They can see that on our website as well and start to get an idea of what they need to do.
Right, and we're always updating on our website and on our social media, actually, the NCAA eligibility, because there's updates keep going all the time. Which brings me to my next question. And, you know, like I started to say earlier, is that my job? Is that job somebody else's? Am I responsible for that? It seems like today we try to put things in certain pegs. This belongs here. But what role does the high school coach, the parent, and the athlete themselves play in the recruiting process? How do you sit there and see bringing them together, when they should be together, and if they should be together?
Sure. I go around the world actually doing recruiting seminars, and one of the biggest points I bring up to players, parents, coaches is, yes, their role in the process and what needs to be done. It's a family process. Because you're dealing with a young student athlete who is probably 17, 18 years old, sometimes 16, they need guidance, they need help and support from their family members, their coaches, a recruiter, an expert, and their friends. And they really need to take charge of their recruiting process. It's their process. Coaches love to hear from the players. They want to know why they're interested in the school. They like to see that they're taking a leadership role in communicating, getting comfortable with it. I know it's not always the easiest thing for a young student athlete to be talking to a college coach and communicating with them, But it's something that they'll learn as they go through. The parents need to be guiding them and ensuring that some of the things that they're doing are, they're staying on top of their tasks. At the same time, the parents' role really comes down in the financial aspect of the affordability, the scholarships. Parents need to be involved in that part because they're paying for the student's education and they should be involved. The coaches need to be supporting both the players and the parents. I think oftentimes players like to put the recruiting in the coaches' hands, and although they may have some connections, as you mentioned, and can offer some advice, they're not going to be doing the recruiting process, and nor should they be. They should be supporting it. They should be talking to a coach if they're asking about the player's level and their character. And they should be involved in training the player and getting them to the best level they can so that when they're in college, they have all the tools that they need to continue moving forward.
Very good. Well said. I think that's so important. I always tell the parents and the players that I work with that my biggest job is to give you the tools to go on and to give you the references if you deserve the reference. And I'm not going to lie for anybody. I'm not going to sit there. I'll never say anything bad from about anybody. But in the same respect, don't be surprised if you didn't work hard and you ask me for a reference and I suggest to you that you find somebody else. You know, the reason I'm doing that is because I don't have enough good things to say about you. So, you know, you need somebody else. And I think that's too often parents, players, and coaches, the number one thing is they have to learn to say no. Don't give somebody a reference. And especially when you get my age, you get scary because I'm always afraid somebody says, is that old guy still coaching? And boy, he must be getting senile. Let me get this is who I should be recruiting. So I think that's very important advice. I mean, they all have to get together, but everybody has a job, and the student-athlete is a big part of that job. There's no way that they can avoid it because they can avoid it, but they can probably avoid getting the scholarship too.
An important step in a student-athlete's process as well to learn how to communicate, to build those skills, to be able to communicate well and manage your time. I don't, you know, think that it can do any harm. It can just do good. And why not start now when you have this chance before you get to college? Because the reality of college is that nobody's going to be knocking on your door telling you to wake up and go to class. No one's going to force you to play tennis. It's got to be from within, and you have to take charge of that on your own and learn to be a leader.
No question. You know, you probably remember talking to my wife, and one of the first things she asked you, and it's one of the things that I think it's she's understood better in the last couple of years. Well, how many foreign students do you bring into the country? And of course, it's always one of the things. And the poor college coaches get beat up sometime on it about why they're recruiting foreign students. And I think we all really know the reason why, but we don't want to admit it. And it brings me to a player I had years ago before I met you, and she went out and her parents paid for a recruiter, and they put her into a small college. And the truth of the matter is I thought they did a good job. They put her where she belongs. And I think, you know, the question has to come up, and you have to think about, and you have to look at it truthfully, is what level of tennis player can be recruited for college, number one. And, you know, do they all belong playing Division One? You know, we all mature at a different level. I know I've used the 2 years colleges for a few of my players, and They've gone on. One of them is a tennis pro today. The other one went on to get a full ride at the University of Alabama after 2 years at Marion Military Institute. So, you know, where is the place for them, and what level of tennis, and what is that recruiting process? You know, how do you sit there and find that?
Sure. That's a great, great question, and I think you mentioned two parts. So let me first touch on the international versus the American player aspect, and then I'll touch on the levels of the divisions and how you sort of find your right fit on the level. So, you know, the international aspect is a very controversial topic, of course. The Americans, you know, would love to have all those scholarships, but I think the truth of the matter is tennis is an international sport, and you're going to have a lot of foreigners and you're going to have a lot of Americans, and I think that's great because for me, when I was in college, having players on my team, me being from Canada, having some Americans, Germans, Australians, was a great diverse group, and we learned a lot from each other. Some people even picked up some languages off of each other, and it gave me, for example, a chance to build not only great friendships and learn about different cultures, but an opportunity to travel. So I think if we look at tennis on that side, it's a great international experience and multicultural. I don't think that there are internationals that are getting any special privileges over American players. I just think it's the way the sport is. They're looking to get the best players, and there are a lot of great players that come from outside of the country as well. And you have to, you know, be ready to play at that level, regardless if you're American or an international. To go a little bit about the divisions and finding yourself in a D1 program, D2, what does that really mean? Well, the level is high. It's very high. Kids that are playing in national tournaments, USTA national tournaments or ITF tournaments, the International Tennis Federation, and they're getting, let's say, a top 3, 4, 500 ranking, they're generally going to get scouted by Division I schools and most of the schools that we all hear and see on TV, the Duke and the Stanfords and the University of Illinois, the University of Florida, et cetera. But that doesn't stop somebody from getting to one of those levels. There are stepping stones that you can take. There's a program now called Universal Tennis Rating that I know you're very familiar with that has
right.
come with a great rating system that has allowed us to look at all international players and American players and see what your level's at. And on the guys' side, there's a certain level and above, and on the women's side, that generally gives you a guideline. But that's needless to say that there are Division II schools that are sometimes stronger than some Division I schools. And that's where there's 1,000-plus universities out there where things can get a little bit confusing and difficult to learn. But there are guidelines that they can go about. There are people that they can speak to, like ourselves, and research on the Internet and find out what level those players are at. Players go down all the way from D1, and then there are opportunities at Division 2, 3, NAIA. And there are schools out there that take on a competitive tennis player who's played at a good level, let's say even the high school state level or on a high school team, and has done well and is interested in tennis and plays competitively on a regular basis, where the college is not all about sports all the time. They can have a great experience, play, but focus a little bit more on the education and not have that pressure versus some of the top tier D1 schools that are going to be looking for not only the best talent, but they're looking for you to perform every single day at the highest level, and it's much more competitive.
Yeah, and I think that's where that universal system is going to make it so much better in the future, but it is going to take away the process of academics, and of course the I think the thing that too many of us don't think about, too, and I mean the coaches as well as the parents, is that grade point average and the courses they're taking and how much money that might be worth. I mean, because the bottom line is how much is it going to come out of your pocket. There's not that many full scholarships, given full scholarships, and there is a lot of weight put on that. Would you like to talk about that for a minute?
Sure, absolutely. Yeah, I think tennis is a non-revenue generating sport, and therefore full scholarships on the men's side is very limited. There are not a whole lot of full scholarships anymore that are given out. In fact, a lot of the men's teams are going away from even giving a full scholarship to even their number one and trying to spread it out a little bit more to make their teams competitive. On the women's side, you are going to get quite a few more Division I and Division II schools with full scholarships. But academics plays a huge portion. When I talk to players, when I meet with them and their families, I emphasize how important the education part is. The amount of money that's available on the academic side far exceeds the athletic money. And if you're a good student, as well as a good athlete, and you get the best grades you can, there's a lot of compensation there to bring you up to a much stronger scholarship and making it affordable for the families to go out of state and entertain some schools that they normally couldn't. So I think that there's a ton of money there. I think that players and parents also mistake Division III schools with not having athletic scholarships. And they're right, they don't have athletic scholarships, but those schools offer a lot of aid in different ways, in merit scholarships, in financial aid. And those packages that they can combine can be very comparable and sometimes better than other opportunities that they're going to get. And that's predominantly based on their academic ability. So I think if I was to make one really strong point regarding this topic, is that if your academics are strong, you get good SAT or ACT scores, you do well and obtain a very high GPA, your options broaden significantly versus somebody who maybe just says, well, I'll get a couple B's and a couple C's here and there. It won't make a difference. You'll be surprised how big of a difference a point or two can make.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well said. I don't think we talk enough about that. And listening to you in the past, I was always impressed how much time you spent with Abby. And I love the idea of giving the full picture out. We're not going to please everybody. I've been asked before why the partnership where I'm recruitable with the Florida High School Tennis Coaches Association. Some people don't think anybody should have to pay for that services. But the truth of the matter is that, and they don't know what you do for us. I mean, a lot of those people. But even if you didn't, the point is still, a lot of people question, is the academy, is IMG worth the money you pay there? Those are arguments that there's always going to be. Quite frankly, I really, we're proud of our partnership with you because we like your straightforwardness, the way you deliver things. And sometimes what you're telling people is not what they want to hear, but it's the truth, the way we perceive the truth to be. One of the other subjects that you and I have talked about, and I'd like to see more of, and I've learned an awful lot from you about it, and I still think we're going to have to develop more in the future, but I understand we got to walk before we run. But I'd like to have you explain the showcases and the value of having a tennis showcase. And I think maybe I appreciate it more because I'm not from a big city. Most of my players aren't playing all the tournaments. They can't afford to be traveling around the country going to there. So could you spend 4 or 5 minutes talking about that, please?
Absolutely. I think that's a very good thing to bring up there is the showcases and the exposure camps that we run and that are taking place around the country. It's vital for any tennis player, no matter if they're a blue chip player or haven't played many tournaments at all to get exposure to college coaches. I had a conversation with a couple coaches last December when we ran our Florida showcase, and it was talking about the technology portion and how, you know, you can watch those videos on YouTube and you can do look at UTR ratings and see what tournaments they've played. And the coaches really confirmed that there's nothing like watching a player right in front of you and getting a first-hand experience and a scouting report on them. Video can show you a lot of things, but you really want to see that player in action. You want to be able to have maybe a face-to-face interaction. And so, therefore, I think that getting a college scholarship, it's all about relationships. And I've watched players over the years get opportunities at schools that maybe they're just under that level that they're looking for, but they've built such a great relationship with the coaches because of their hard work and their communication skills, their leadership qualities, something that a coach likes. Are you coachable? It's a very important question that coaches ask themselves before recruiting a player. And sometimes they're willing to take that player who's maybe just a step below because they see that they can coach this player, we can develop he or she, and they'd be a great asset to our team environment and a pleasure to work with over the next 4 years. So our showcases and training days and exposure camps, they provide not only an opportunity to meet and play in front of college coaches, but to showcase yourself as to your character, your work ethic. You get to learn about the process and really find what scholarship and opportunities there are out there that these various coaches have to offer because it's so different. So let me touch on a few different events that we run and a few different events that take place. We run a very successful Florida showcase here just outside of Miami before the Orange Bowl, and it's a unique training day and showcase. You can go on our website and even watch the video. It involves a day of training with a handful of college coaches on the court, and you get an opportunity to work with several college coaches in a training environment similar to a college setting. You get to sample the various coaching styles, and you get a chance to interact and mingle with those coaches and build those relationships. Since it's a unique time where the Orange Bowl and the Eddie Herr going on, there's about 100 college coaches that come over that month in this area. And we bring over 65 college coaches from Division I, II, III, NAIA, junior college, from all over the country that come and watch these players compete and get player information on them and an opportunity to present their school. So it's a very unique event. We've actually this year grown to be Florida's largest recruiting event during that time. There are a few other events that take place, but I'm proud to say that we've done a good job over the few years to make it happen, and we get coaches from all different levels. So that's a great opportunity. And secondly, there are these camps that take place called exposure camps that generally happen in the summer. We'll be hosting one at UPenn in June, third week of June, and then one in Canada this summer, and we continue to grow these events. But this, again, brings a number of coaches and a 2 or 3 day camp that allows you to be on a college campus, such as UPenn, really explore the university and feel like you're already in college to give you that atmosphere and perspective, and build those relationships with coaches and, again, work with them on the court, train in that environment, improve your game, and find the right type of opportunities for you. So I think that it's very, very important for players at all levels. Even if you're getting highly recruited, you want to be able to come to these events because there's nothing more special than seeing these coaches and for them to actually see you in person, and you never know, you're going to get some additional opportunities maybe that you didn't have.
True, and I think I always encourage my players to go, and I've always tell them that these people are going to be looking at you and deciding do they want you for the next 4 years or 2 years there, but you should be looking at them. You might find a coach that does like you, and it's another Coach Denise. And, you know, you say, you know what, I spent 4 years with that guy. I don't know if I could take four more years. So I always tell them it's a two-way street. They're evaluating you. They're showing you everything they have to offer and why you should go there. And you have to listen and learn, but also you have to make a decision, because this is where you might be spending part of your future. And, you know, you've got to look at, is this somebody? And it's nothing, it's not to do with the coach and how much knowledge they have, but there's different ways you coach. There's different ways you teach. There's different emphasis that coaches put on things. And, you know, so that might, if that doesn't fit the way you want to do things, then you've got to make a decision, or, you know, am I going to make a change to fit into that there? Or am I going to go to this other coach that I'm not going to play as high on the ladder as I would at this other college? But I think I like that individual. So I always tell the players it's a two-way street. Take advantage of it, but make sure you communicate. Communicate. Don't shut up. Keep asking questions. Keep talking. Keep learning.
Absolutely. And I think that, you know, for Florida high school tennis players, when I go out and I talk to the players and the coaches, and when we do our annual meetings, I notice that there's a variety of players. And here in the Miami area, for example, you'll get a couple guys and girls on your team that play those national tournaments and ITFs, and they come out, and it's equally as important for those players who don't get that opportunity, because they'll be surprised that there's quite a few coaches out there who are looking to find players that may be a little bit under the radar, that didn't get out there and play as many tournaments as the others for whatever reason it is, whether it's not having the time to do so or a financial hold or whatever it is. Here's your chance at these showcases and these camps to be in front of college coaches and earn a scholarship and learn about the process. And I've been, you know, very It's been a humbling experience too, because I've seen a lot of kids that have come out that, you know, didn't think that they could do it, and we motivated them and we introduced them to the coaches, and they've gotten great opportunities and are now thriving and having a great time in college. And it's really a dream come true for a lot of the kids. But you must take the initiative to come out and be a part of these events. And I know that the Florida High School Tennis Coaches Association has done a great job, yourself especially, to create the awareness and to send this information out to all the high school coaches, players, parents. And this past year, we had quite a few kids from the Florida area come out who were in that boat of, nah, I'm not sure if I can do it or if I can get it. I haven't played that many tournaments. Well, that's okay. You can do it. And a lot of them were very, very successful.
Well, we appreciate the job that you do, and I think that's the important thing is, you know, getting the exposure out. And, of course, one of the reasons on our resource page, one of the things we try to do is share the important information that parents and players and high school coaches should know. And, of course, I'm Recruitable is on their resource page, because if they forget, who is that Tarek I was talking to and what was his site? If you do forget, you can find it on our FHSTCA website, because it will be on the resource page. And the people have to know. But I think the communications is the important thing. I think back, you're talking about Miami, and I can't remember her name at the University of Miami, and it must have been 17 years ago, maybe more. And she told me about the scholarship process and going through, and everything is good. And they do an interview, and all of a sudden, the student just can't communicate, and they're standing there, and what one word answers the questions. And I left there, and I said, well, I'm going to do my part of that. And I'm going to end all my practices with the last 15 minutes. I'm going to answer everything but one sentence. And I'm going to make these kids talk. And that way, when they get this opportunity, they'll be ready. Well, you know how long 15 minutes is when kids don't want to talk?
Very long time.
It was almost a disaster, but fortunately, it was one of those places where persistence paid off, because after the second or third meeting, Coach, can we go now? No, we still have 13 minutes. Finally, it came to a point when it was a young lady who I thought was going to be a lawyer, but she didn't. And she said, Coach, are we allowed to say anything? And I said, of course you can. Are we allowed to say we think you're strange? I said, of course you can, but why? Well, other coaches don't do that. Needless to say, the next year I reduced that 15 minutes down to 5 minutes, which I continue to do. But talk about making a drastic mistake. Even coaches make mistakes. I mean, 15 minutes. I thought my intentions were so good, but boy, did I blow that one. And that's why I tell coaches, your intentions might be well, but you don't know enough people. You need help. And, I'm just looking at the thing, and I see we're down to the last 4 minutes. Tarek, I would like you to tell us whatever you'd like to talk about for the next 4 minutes, please.
Okay, perfect. Well, just to touch on some of the stuff you're saying, you know, we absolutely think it's important to teach and guide the student-athletes on how to communicate. And again, the camps and the showcases, they do a lot of that. I think kids come in and, you know, they're often intimidated of as they are and or as they perceive to be. But, you know, we like to make them comfortable. They quickly realize that the coaches are just humans as well, and they like to have fun and joke around. And there's a time to be serious and there's a time to have fun. And we do a lot of that. So these camps are a ton of fun, and I think it does a lot of great things for the athletes and the parents and even the coaches. As far as our program goes and our services, we'd like to encourage everybody who's listening in and everybody who's interested in learning more about college tennis to give us a call. We offer free consultations, and we'd be happy to learn a little bit more about the student-athlete and the family and what their goals are moving forward to play college tennis and get a great education. So don't be shy to reach out to us either on email, or you can give us a call. All of our information is listed on the website. And I think it's important for tennis players to continue to be active and be a part of this community. It's a sport that we've had a lot of controversy and rule changes, and trying to make it a little bit more exciting in college because it's a non-revenue generating sport, and we want to keep the sport alive in college tennis. I don't think it's going to go anywhere, but there has been some male programs that have been cut in the past, and we're talking about shortening the game. But it's exciting, and the more we're involved in the community, then I think good things happen, because once you've gone on a college tennis experience, it really helps you in a career afterwards. So I'd like to thank you, too.
Well, I thank you, Tarek, for being our guest today. Hopefully I'll try to make it to the University of Pennsylvania. For sure I will see you at down in December at the workshop there. But I thank you again for sharing the information. I know you're available with coaches. I suggest, please, not just the players and the parents, but if you're a coach, if you have any questions, Tarek is available. And I think he's successful in this is because he really does care. I was hoping to get into some of the technical stuff that you're ready to introduce, but we're going to have you on the show again, Tarek.
I'd love to be back. And, yes, I'd love to talk to those high school coaches and help them with their players anytime. Thank you for having
me. Okay, thanks for being on, and we'll have you on when you're ready to talk about that project. You take care. And I'd like to thank all of you for listening in. And remember, please tell your friends to go online, and you will find us on our social media, or you can go to the UR10 Network and listen to the show. I think Tarek has a lot of good information for you. And we look forward to talking with you again next week. Please remember the people that make this possible. Wilson Sports, 100 years they've been a leader in the sport industry. Team Connection, not just a clothier for a lot of the schools, but they're our FHSTCA clothier. Florida Tennis Magazine, if you don't have a copy of the issue, if somebody picked it up at the club, go to our website, and you can read the last issue on there, and of course you could always read our issues there. Dean Street Insurance, giving out a community service award. If you don't have a Dean Street in your community, go to deanstreetinsurance.com. And, of course, the Florida Athletic Coaches Association, which we are the tennis arm of that group. So please support high school tennis, support your FHSAA, and I look forward to talking to you next week when we're going to have an open mic. So any questions about tennis or any complaints or suggestions, please call in and let's talk about it. You have a blessed week, and I'll talk to you next week. Bye now.
All set?
It should be ended.